Thank you. I want to start off with a Bible verse in, since I don't have my projector here, I'll just read it from my PDA. It's Psalms 103, verses 2 through 5. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Well, that's a beautiful few verses about God's interest in blessing us with so many in so many ways, and I believe He wants to heal all our diseases as well, don't you? That's why we're here at this conference, isn't it? I want to share just a little bit of my path, my professional path, since leaving Loma Linda, graduated from School of Dentistry in 1977 with also a degree in public health. And because we owed too much money, $30,000 at that time, the General Conference would not send us to the mission field. So my wife and I decided we would find a mission field in our home conference, which is Arkansas, Louisiana. She was from Louisiana, grew up in New Orleans, and we met at Ozark Academy. And so we looked at the map, it was called the Dark County map back then, and found an area that had not been served. In fact, God led us to this area. It wasn't actually what we were looking for, but that's another story. And we moved back to a little town of Amity. At that time, population 515, I think it was. And the Lord has blessed. It's been a marvelous experience of starting a scratch practice. We actually bought a lot and built an office, and I like to build things, so I helped the builders build the first 6 months after I graduated, and opened the office in August of 1977. And I practiced pretty much traditional dentistry, what I was taught during the first 8-9 years of practice. And however, things once in a while just seemed to have some problems. I would have patients come back to me and say, "You know, Doc, since I saw you last, I spent 2 days or 3 days in the hospital. I was really sick, and I think what you did caused it." Well, you know, of course, I was very defensive. "No, no, what I did was perfect. You know, these are perfectly safe fillings." But gradually, other things began to impact me, and I felt that I wanted to be open to the Lord's leading. And professionally, there was an article published in the May 1984 Journal of Prosthetic Dentistry, which I had subscribed to for many years, and have a whole 8-foot shelf of those magazines and American Dental Association journals. And I was really impressed with this study. It was done here in California by Dr. Eggleston, and he was comparing mercury fillings with doing T lymphocyte tests. And he did a T lymphocyte study and found out that the percentage of T lymphocytes with mercury fillings, a young lady, 26-year-old, who had about 6 fillings, I think, all beautiful fillings, she had a T lymphocyte count of about 48. And he took the mercury fillings out, put in composites, and did another mercury T lymphocyte test 4 months later and found the percentage was 73, and which is about a 30-40% increase. And then he put little tiny mercury fillings in the middle of those composites, and 4 months later did another T lymphocyte test, and it was almost exactly the way it was before, 47-48%. And so he took those out, restored the teeth with gold restorations. 4 months later did another T lymphocyte test, and it was back up area of 72-73 again. And that had a real impact on me. You know, T lymphocytes, that's a pretty important part of our immune system, isn't it? You physicians know more about that than I do. But I wondered, should I be placing something that has the potential of impairing someone's immune system? And then about this time, I had a patient who was disabled with muscle problems. And his mother, he was in his early 20s, and a few years before, I had placed 4 or 5 small occlusal amalgams in about in his molars. And his mother had read something in a magazine somewhere, and she thought his problems might be related to the mercury fillings. And of course, I was real defensive, you know, standard of care, I don't have to do this. But I said, as a Christian, since you've asked me to, I will replace those fillings. And I did, and he recovered. And I thought, wow, that is amazing. And then about this time, there were some little ladies at Weimar that I don't know, they had a burden. Somehow they learned that I was interested in mercury, and they sent me a paper with some Spirit of Prophecy quotes about mercury, and I had no idea that there was anything in the Spirit of Prophecy about mercury. Statements like this in Spiritual Gifts, Volume 4, page 140, every poisonous preparation in the vegetable and mineral kingdoms taken into the system will leave its wretched influence, affecting the liver and lungs and deranging the system generally. Nor does the evil end here. Diseased, feeble infants are brought into the world to share this misery transmitted to them from their parents. And there's another statement I think we'll show a little bit later from the previous page talking about calomel. Well, with all of this kind of impacting upon me, I decided in May of 1985 that I would stop using mercury. So I declared my practice a mercury-free practice. And, of course, back then it was I never announced it publicly. I just stopped using it and began a learning experience that has been an exciting thing to keep up with the changes as each generation of composites and bonding agents and curing lights and all of these have come along. It's been a lot of fun to see the progress and changes and improvements. And along the way, I have also learned what a biological dental practice is. A biological dentist is one who is concerned with the health and integrity of the oral cavity and its surrounding structures. This includes the use of materials and procedures that are systematically compatible. And those early years, I was not announcing or promoting or doing anything, but just word got around, and people began coming with all types of health problems, and from not only the local area, but from many states around as well. Let's see, which one of these shall I be looking at? Is that one? Okay. And is this going to advance it? Okay. Up, plus? Okay. Okay. And, you know, a text that has meant a lot to me. Did I miss one? Oh, yes. The principle of first do no harm. I'm sure everyone in California is familiar with that. Proverbs 26:2 says, as the sparrow in her wandering, as the swallow in her flying, so the curse that is causeless alighteth not. And I'm convinced that every disease we have has a cause. You know, there are so many things, as you study pathology, that are listed as no known cause and no known cure. Well, I object to that because I think almost everything that we experience as physicians and dentists has a cause, and we need to be wise as serpents as we endeavor to find them. Well, some of the things I learned was the connections with electricity, that I had patients with muscle twitching and muscle spasms and itching of the face and so on. And amazingly, that totally cleared up when the mercury fillings were removed. And I imagine, I'm quite sure that that is a result of the electricity that is produced by the fillings. There are cases of hearing loss and tinnitus, ringing in the ears, that were eliminated by changing the mercury fillings. And probably the most surprising case was one of a pastor, we'll call him Pastor Ben, who was actually pastoring a church in New York City, and he just about was to have a nervous breakdown, and he moved away from New York City, left the ministry, bought a couple acres up in the mountains about 40 miles from where I practice, and built a little cabin, he and his wife and a couple of adopted children, and he was trying to get his health back. Well, they came down and got acquainted with them, and they asked me to take his mercury fillings out, which I did. And a couple of months later, his wife was in the office for some care, and she happened to mention to me that, you know, Ben hasn't had any heart pains, chest pains, since you took his mercury fillings out. And I said, oh, really? You never told me anything about chest pains. And she said, yes, for 22 years, he had angina-type pain. He had been to the Mayo Clinic, to specialists all around the country. No one could find any cause or source of that pain in his chest. And the only connection I can make is that the fillings, the electricity that was being generated by his fillings, and he had one really large one that was put in when he was a sophomore in college, I think, and it was right after that the pain began. But it was no doubt interfering with the vagus nerve, isn't that the nerve that innervates the heart, and causing a sensation of this chest pain. Well, as we look at the ingredients of a battery, we have a base metal, which is lead, precious metal, which is silver, electrolyte, sulfuric acid. And it so happens in the mouth we have with mercury fillings the same thing, a base metal, which is mercury, and a precious metal, silver, and an electrolyte, saliva. And could it be that we have batteries, we're carrying around batteries in our teeth? In fact, we used to have a little amalgameter, it was called. It was never approved by the FDA, but so I didn't charge people for using it. But we would test the electricity coming from each of the fillings, and most of them were negative. Sometimes it would be positive charges, but there was not a actual readout of what the level was. One day I had a mechanic in the chair, and we had taken his mercury fillings out, or were process of it, and I had checked the electricity, and he had a little micrometer in his pocket. He said, here, try it with this. And so we checked his fillings with that. And sure enough, we got the same proportions, different numbers, but his micrometer told what we were measuring. And it was microvolts. Whoa, we're measuring microvolts coming from these amalgam fillings. And later I learned that the body's electrical system works on what? Nanovolts. That's 1,000 times less than microvolts. So we're talking about an electric current here that could be thousands of times more than the electrical system of the body. Let's see. Well, it's a text here in Romans 11, or 13, 11 to 13, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. And this is maybe a little symbolic of casting off the works of darkness, but I really think that the devil uses the effects of mercury fillings to his advantage in many, many ways, as we will see as we go on here. And I think a challenge is for us to walk honestly, to look openly at the evidence that we have. I learned that allergies and headaches are often related to mercury fillings. In fact, one of my patients, we'll call him Tim, wrote a few paragraphs of his experience. And let me just explain. He had some concern about his mercury fillings, and so he went to a dentist who took them out, Tim thought, and put in composites. But when he came to me a few years later, I took bite wing x-rays and saw there was some distinct little pieces of mercury still in the deep portions of those cavities and covered up with porcelain. And this is what he said. Just want to let you know how much I appreciate you taking my amalgams out for me. I thought the other dentist had taken all 10 of them out some time back, but he left a little bit in and put composite over it. I wondered why I was still tasting it at times, because I was sure they were all out. That is until you did an x-ray on my teeth when I was just in for a checkup, and you discovered that I still had a little bit left below the composite on one. You weren't able to tell about the other nine until you worked on them. I was amazed that all nine teeth still had some left below the composite. I was suffering with headaches every day for about 2 years. I thought it was allergies, so I was taking Claritin D to get rid of the headache. I couldn't understand why I was having these, what I thought to be allergies, even in the winter when nothing was pollinating, but as long as the allergy medicine worked, I guess. Then an amazing thing happened. After you removed the amalgams, my headaches disappeared. It has been almost 1 year now, and I still haven't had any headaches. And not only that, but I rarely have to take any Claritin D, even in the midst of allergy season, because my congestion has really cleared up a lot. So the long and short is, I guess what appeared to be allergies, I now recognize to be those amalgams that are now out. When I went for allergy tests over the years, they always came up negative. I knew there must be some mistake because I had all the symptoms. That is, until I had this work done. I will never regret spending what I did to get them out because it was well worth it. Again, thanks so much for recognizing that there was still some left and removing them for me. And this reminded me of a statement that we find in the Spirit of Prophecy that says, mercury, calomel, and quinine have brought their amount of wretchedness, which the day of God will alone fully reveal. Preparations of mercury and calomel taken into the system ever retain their poisonous strength as long as there is a particle of it left in the system. Tim can certainly testify the validity of that statement. Well, there's another case, lady that actually traveled more than 2,000 miles to see me and have this work done. A letter she wrote a couple of months after she returned home. She said, I have waited this long to write just to make sure the improvement in my health wasn't just a placebo effect or wishful thinking. As soon as I got home, I knew there was something very different. I had more energy than I've had in about 6 years. I've gotten more done in every day than I ever accomplished in a week. It's helped me really know I wasn't just being lazy. I really had no energy. The other things that are better are that I'm not as cold as I used to be. My husband said that when I sleep, I seem much more peaceful and don't toss and turn so much. But one thing that seems most interesting to me is that my respiration rate has been over 30 times a minute, and now it is as much more in a normal range of 12 to 16 times a minute. I guess I was literally starving for oxygen. And actually, studies show that mercury competes with the oxygen binding sites in the hemoglobin. My husband said that when I sleep, I seem much more peaceful. Let's see, I read that. I've had both Mike, my husband, and my mom listen to my breathing at night, and they both said they could never breathe that many times a minute. It made them tired just to try to match my breathing. I also have less anxiety. I guess I'd call it that. I just feel more comfortable in my own skin. My kids are happy to have Mom back. I'm so glad I made the trip and am now mercury-free. My dad says he feels better, too. I had taken his mercury fillings out. He can keep going all day better than before. In fact, he's the patient that told me about 2 days after I finished that he had had symptoms of depression for 30 years. Now, this is a lifelong Adventist. He was a retired elementary school teacher. Depression for 30 years, and he told me it was completely gone. Just 2 days after we took his mercury out. Mom can't tell much yet. I'm sure it will take a while. At the minimum, it's worth it to just stop putting that load on her body. That's probably most of all the pertinent things she says. Thank you again for the work you did, and I praise God so much that I feel so much better so soon. So, a few experiences like this, you know, kind of get you excited about going to work, even in your old age. We've had cases with children with Crohn's disease that cleared up. Just a few small fillings. I had a teenage boy that was taking allergy shots every week. And the week after his mother was in, after we finished his removing his few little occlusal pits, she said that from the time we finished taking those mercury fillings out, he could tell a difference. His sinuses began clearing up. He never took another allergy shot after that. It was just so amazing. And, of course, they were all very grateful for that improvement. Isaiah 49:25 says, "For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children." I think God wants to save our children. Of course, eternally is the most important thing. This is a video, we're going to see just a few minutes of it, that has been on the web probably for 10 years now, 8 years, something like that. But let's see, do we have...
All mercury silver fillings leak substantial amounts of mercury constantly. The amount increases with any kind of stimulation, and as a result, mercury from fillings produces the majority of human exposure to mercury. The International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology is extremely concerned about the anecdotal claims of safety by manufacturers and dental trade associations that are at variance with the published peer-reviewed scientific evidence to the contrary. The precautionary principle requires action once the possibility of harm exists. It does not require proof beyond a shadow of a doubt that in the case of heavy metal and xenobiotic exposure is both nearly impossible and unnecessary, in our opinion. What you're seeing is mercury vapor coming off a 25-year-old silver amalgam filter in an extracted tube. The background is a phosphorescent screen. The mercury vapor absorbs the fluorescent light, and you can see it as a shadow on the screen. This is mercury coming off a filling that was dipped in water that's the same temperature as the human body. This is a filling that was rubbed with a pencil eraser for just a few seconds. Like going to the hygienist and having her clean your teeth. These are not small amounts of mercury. If you can see it, it's more than 1,000 times higher than the Environmental Protection Agency will allow for the air that we breathe. What about the last time you went to the dentist and they drilled on your tooth? Here is the mercury vapor every time you raise the temperature to 110 degrees. With hot coffee or warm water, or even chewed on it. Mercury comes off fillings every time you stimulate them, and that stimulation causes the mercury to continue to leak out of the fillings for an hour and a half at a minimum. Some people grind their teeth. Some people chew gum. The dentist might send an old gold crown to the dental lab to be welded. How about the dental personnel? They're not being given informed consent. Back in 1985, the International Academy of Oral Medicine Toxicology set out to determine the amount of mercury that was coming off fillings. And here's the graph, showing substantial quantities of mercury were measured coming off fillings. And then we estimated the total dose. And then we began animal experiments and put radioactive fillings in sheep. Mercury accumulated in the jaw, stomach, liver, and kidney of the sheep in just 30 days. Substantial quantities of mercury spread from the fillings to every organ in that sheep's body. This should be of concern for everyone. Then they measured that the sheep's kidneys dropped in their ability by 60% to clear inulin, an indication of kidney malfunction. Whole body imaging of monkeys found exactly the same thing. Proponents of amalgam fillings claim that sheep chew too much. Well, what's the problem with monkeys? They had mercury in their jaw, kidneys, liver, intestine, and heart. And further research found dystrophic bacteria that were antibiotic resistant cropped up in the intestines within 2 weeks of receiving these mercury-leaking fillings. Further studies have found damage to the ADP ribosylation of brain neuron proteins. In response to the controversy.
Well, I think that's as far as we'll go there. But that entire video is available at the IAOMT's website and IAOMT.org. Okay. So it's kind of impressive. It was a few years ago I first saw that video, and it really, you know, I've been telling people for years that mercury was coming off their fillings. And when you can see it, it's much easier to believe that that is the case. Well, just a few slides here of basic science. Mercury is 50 to 54% amalgams are 50 to 54% mercury. And so they should be actually called mercury fillings instead of silver fillings, as we were taught in school. And because silver is 35%, and then you can see the other ingredients there. We'll just quickly go through some of these basic things. On mercury, it's very reactive. It vaporizes. The vaporization doubles every 10 degrees centigrade above 10 degrees Fahrenheit, I believe. Well, it vaporizes easily above 10 degrees Fahrenheit. And so at body temperature, it is well in that vaporization area. A few more things of the chemistry here. But the important thing here is that when mercury binds to an enzyme, the enzyme no longer functions. And many enzymes have sulfhydryl groups. Mercury will replace the sulfur and hydrogen. And so it totally inactivates that that enzyme. The relative toxicity, mercury is more toxic than cadmium, two types of arsenic, thallium, and lead as well. This is the reason why that mercury causes so many symptoms, because it is so toxic, and it affects nerve tissue. In fact, it is attracted more to nerve tissue than it is to other tissues in the body. And studies have actually shown how fast mercury travels along a neuron. And it's not very fast, but you know it's not very far from the teeth to the brain, is it? So it's easy to see how it could affect so many things. I have here a list of symptoms that I have patients check and see if they've had these symptoms in the past or are they having them in currently. And this is actually more than, this is like 130, 140 symptoms, but at least 120 symptoms have been definitely directly linked to mercury in mercury toxicity. And what we're talking about here is micromercury toxicity, micro level, small levels, but it builds up. It's a retention toxicity symptom, a syndrome where it builds up in the tissues. And many people live many years without noticing any symptoms. But sooner or later, it crosses the threshold and people start having some of these many, many symptoms. As we mentioned, it's the most toxic non-radioactive element on the planet. And Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Well, we know we're in a spiritual battle, don't we? That there's an awful lot of sleight and cunning craftiness, and we want to not be deceived. We want to know what is actually happening. And as I have experienced or seen the experience of so many patients recovering from these many bizarre things, it has been an amazing thing to be a part of. One of the things that I learned as well over the years is that patients love and demand a natural looking restoration. And the reason, one of the big reasons why less than 50% of dentists today are placing mercury fillings still is that their patients are asking for more natural looking aesthetic restorations. If you had a choice, would you want restorations like this in your mouth? As you look at the gray color around the first molar there and the gap around that filling, we know from experience, and I'm sure every dentist here has seen these fillings, when you take them out, you find a lot of black sludge, cruddy stuff underneath it that is a combination of corrosion materials and decay and bacteria, and it's not a pretty sight. Or would you rather have something like this in its place? And of course, the pro-amalgamists have made claims that composites cause problems and the bis-GMA can, you know, mess with women's hormones and things, but so far there hasn't been any very definite effect of that and consequence of that. And when you compare the many ailments that mercury is related to, this would certainly be my preference. There is there are some people, and if you launch into a biological dental practice, you'll find that you attract a lot of people that may be on the fringes of what we might consider normal. They're having all these problems, and you'll find some people that are classify themselves as universal reactors. You know, they can't tolerate anything, and before they'll let you put something in their mouth, they have to try it out, either on their skin or a little piece of filling in their mouth to see if they react to it. Anyway, that's one area that you'll find is sometimes challenging, but there are ways of actually determining the biocompatibility of the fillings that you're placing, and many patients are willing to spend $400 to $600 to have these tests done to determine what fillings they can use and which ones they can't. One of the best sources of science, as we mentioned, is the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. Their website there at the top is iaomt.org. And there's another website that you'll find very helpful. And this dentist that has developed this resource has just made it available in the last few weeks. His website is dentalwellness4u.com/mercury/ref.html. And then you'll need the username of Mercury and the password references. And he has an entire a library organized alphabetically according to symptoms and subjects. And it's just several hundred things. And you click on every one of those and you get a whole list of scientific studies that pertain to that subject. And you'll find that a tremendous resource. Another website that has a few things on it we're just developing is mercuryfreedentist.com. Revelation 12:7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought in the dragon against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. I think that this is one of the tools in the devil's armamentarium to destroy the minds and bodies of people. And as we see some of the things that mercury causes in terms of psychological and emotional, like inability to make trivial decisions, inability to resolve doubts, inability to resist temptations, or perform intellectual tasks that have been documented scientifically. I don't want to be involved in lessening someone's ability to fight temptation or perceive the issues that they might be facing. I remember one patient who came to me. He was a truck driver, and I hadn't seen him for a year and a half or so, and I had taken out the mercury fillings on one side of his mouth, and he came back with a toothache, and he hadn't come back, and so we had to pull a tooth. But as we were waiting for anesthesia, he says, "Doc, I don't know what you did to me, but since I've been in here last, I haven't had as much anger as I used to have. And I don't get angry like I was." And he said, he started to say, "And I don't drink anymore." But he corrected himself and says, "I don't drink as much as I used to." But anyway, and here we'd only taken out part of his fillings, and he could tell a difference. And even though I had mercury fillings in probably half of my life or more, I did not have any real distinct symptoms, except I know as a father, when my children were young, there are a lot of anger issues I had that, looking back, I can't explain. And maybe I can blame it on the mercury, I don't know. I'm sure my children were cherubs. Well, One other story I want to tell that kind of caps off. I think we have time here, and I have some other slides here too. If some of you dentists might be interested in some of the precautionary things that you'd need to plan on and to protect yourself as well as the patients from additional mercury when you're removing them. But I want to tell the story of a Adventist fellow who came to me. He was a chaplain, hadn't been able to work for several years because of severe pain in his legs. And the doctors had diagnosed him with Parkinson's disease and congestive heart failure and one other thing. And his wife, who was a registered nurse, she was sure it wasn't Parkinson's because she knew enough about that. And it wasn't this and it wasn't that. And this is one of the characteristics of mercury toxicity. It's been called the great masquerader. In fact, I have another slide that describes it as that. But it often doesn't fit any one category. The symptoms don't. One category of disease. And so it's very confusing to physicians because, you know, someone may manifest a few symptoms of this disease and a few symptoms of that disease. And so oftentimes it's really hard to find a definite diagnosis. But this man had called me several years before, and we had talked about his symptoms, and I said, well, you know, I can't promise anything, but I think it might be helpful to get the mercury out. Well, he had not done that, and so they called me about probably 2 summers ago, and they were kind of desperate. They said, how soon could you get him in? We need to see, we'd like you to see him right away. He's really having a lot of pain. And so we kind of rearranged our schedule for the next week and brought him in. And sometimes it's helpful when you have someone with a lot of work. You can kind of, you know, work on a lot of other patients, come back to this one, and it really helps your productivity. And but we were responding to his desperation, actually. And so the first day he came in, he could just barely walk. And he said he had just gotten from the car to the chair by the strength of his willpower. He'd driven 5 or 6 hours to get to us. But anyway, and while we were working on him, his wife was massaging his legs, trying to relieve the pain, and just his life was pretty much miserable. But we removed one quadrant of fillings, as I recall, and the next day he was in the chair. We were getting set up to do another quadrant, place a rubber dam and all. And his wife was in the room, and she started telling me a story. And she said, Dr. Glocker, I want to tell you what happened. First of all, he slept better last night than he slept in months and months, which, of course, meant that she had slept better, too. And and that was with just one quadrant removed. Anyway, she said that a week before, she was helping him walk through the house, and suddenly he collapsed. And she helped him down to the floor and called to him. He didn't respond. She checked his breathing. He was not breathing. She checked his pulse. He had no pulse. She looked at his eyes, and they were dilated. And she knew he was dying right there in front of her. And the daughter was in the house, who was also a registered nurse, and somehow they revived him. And they never said they did CPR. I think she just got excited and slapped him around a little bit and screamed and shouted or something. Anyway, he began breathing again, and they got him called 911 and got him to the hospital. And he spent, I think, 2 to 3 days in the hospital under observation. There wasn't anything the doctors knew they could do for him because, you know, they weren't sure of the diagnosis, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, he was convinced that it was mercury that was killing him. And so we, that week, took the rest of his mercury fillings out. And about 2 months later, someone from his church in Texas brought me a video that he knew that she would be seeing me the next week. So he had her take a video of him running across the church fellowship hall with no pain. And he just wanted me to know how much better he was already. Well, he recovered and was able to go back to work as a chaplain. And when you see experiences like that, it makes you wonder if there's any good at all in mercury fillings. In fact, it convinces you that there is not. And one of the things I would say to a dentist who may be interested in going mercury-free, the first step to do is just start using a little device called the cleanup. And that's a little plastic device. It goes on the end of a high-speed suction, and it fits over a tooth, so it helps to collect much more of the mercury vapor that you're removing. And the IAOMT has scientific guidelines that explain ways of taking it out without grinding as much, without making as much mercury vapor, chunking it out, grinding around the sides, getting it out in as large pieces as you can. Also, we use a large vacuum system that goes right up under their chin that pulls the air away while you're working and scrubs it through a big charcoal filter, so that not only the patient but the staff also are not getting a high dose of mercury. And there's a lot of other things, dozens of things. And one dentist you might talk to will say, well, you got to do this, this, and this. Another will say this, this, and this, you know. And but there is enough science to know by using a Jerome mercury vapor analyzer like OSHA uses in industry to determine the amount of mercury vapor in the air, you can determine, you know, it has been shown what is effective and what is not. And I don't try to do everything that is available. Some people say you need to use these big industrial masks. You know, the assistant and the dentist needs to use those to protect yourself. And that may be true, but with the air pulling away in this vacuum system, I don't think I'm getting much mercury. In fact, the studies show you know that pretty well takes care of it. And those big industrial masks, I can't see over very well, especially with my loops on. So that's one of the things I don't do. But and for those that are really sick, I use rubber dam. And that protects a little bit more, I think. But mercury vapor actually passes right through the rubber dam, so it's not a fail-safe. It just won't protect from the bigger chunks. But you can put a small saliva ejector behind that to pick up, clean the air behind. But
can you actually measure that mercury going through that rubber dam with your, like they showed in the picture?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's been some studies.
It shows it going through it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You can evaluate the air behind the rubber dam with
not
the
rubber dams.
Yeah, nitrile do better, but have you ever tried to put on one of those? They don't go through proximal spaces very well. And there's kind of like a Vaseline type thing that you can rub on the rubber dam that makes it less pervious to mercury as well. Yes. Another thing that I would encourage you to do is consider joining the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. In fact, they had their biannual meeting here in San Diego just last month, and it's always amazing the science that is presented. Some of it's a little on the fringes, as we heard about this morning, but it's a lot of it is way over my head. And with each session, they give you a DVD that has the lecture, a video of the lecture on one side of the screen and a PowerPoint on the other, and then another file that has all the PowerPoints of each of the presentations. And it's 2 days, Friday and Saturday. I attend on Fridays and enjoy worshiping on Sabbath. But it's kind of nice because with that information, you know, a few weeks after the meeting, I'll have all the PowerPoint presentations as well as the videos of those that presented on Saturday. And so there's just a wealth of information there. Right now, that organization has about 800 members. There's some other mercury-free organizations, but this is the largest and I think is the most scientifically based organization that is out there. Well, there's a lot more we could cover, but I'm sure you have a few questions. Yes?
How do you find a dentist?
Well, there's several websites that you can find mercury-free dentists. One is the IAOMT has a search for a dentist feature, and the other, that third website there is mercuryfreedentists.com has about 150 or so dentists, and you can get contact information from them. Yes?
What relationship do people have in their diets when they eat a lot of this fish that has loaded with mercury? Is this the same symptoms as you have from dental mercury?
Yes. In fact, the American Dental Association has said that the mercury from the fillings is inconsequential compared to the mercury from fish in the diet. And the studies show just the opposite. If you were to eat fish every day, you would get 1/6 of the level of mercury that you do from just a few mercury fillings
is
in your mouth.
Is it a different compound?
It may be the same compound. I'm not sure. Now, one of the compounds in fish is methylmercury, and that is supposedly 100 times more neurotoxic than elemental mercury. And if you've ever studied an interesting public health incident that occurred back in the 50s in Minamata Bay, Japan, it's an interesting and sad story of human exposure to mercury from fish. There's an industry there dumping large amounts of mercury into the bay as a byproduct, and the fish were taking it in and methylating that mercury, and then the people were eating the fish, and they were dying of just bizarre things. I mean, and it took 10 years after they knew the cause of this problem before the government there was able to stop that industry from dumping that.
Do you recommend some steps for detoxifying?
Yes, there are a number of things, and we've been kind of through a cycle of things. At one time, the best way we knew was chelation therapy, DMSA, DMPS, and that is still done some, but I think it is not the best because it dumps so much mercury into the system that before the body can pull it out, that many people get very sick. They call it a healing crisis, but if I were experiencing it, I still wouldn't be too thrilled with it. And there are a few things. there's one product called NDF, nanodized detoxification factors. I think the company that produces that is BioRay. You can Google that. There's a product that, in my estimation from the research I've seen, is probably even better than anything we've had, called OSR, but that was just taken off the market about 3 or 4 weeks ago by the FDA. And at one of the AOMT meetings, there was a physician there, and I was just reviewing some of his slides a few days ago, that had done some of the research before they marketed this product. And they were showing amazing improvements in people with dementia and Alzheimer's disease and recovery, actual reversal of autism from this OSR product. And I don't know if there's any... It was sold as a supplement, right? The FDA is saying it's actually a drug. But what it was doing was increasing the glutathione levels in the body. And most of you know probably glutathione is this most powerful antioxidant that we have. It's involved in so many cellular functions, every cell of our body. And most people today, if you do a glutathione a test, you'll find them deficient in glutathione. And mercury, glutathione binds mercury and pulls it out of the system, but it takes two molecules of glutathione to every molecule of mercury. So it's if you have mercury in your system, you're definitely going to have glutathione deficiency. And so anything that will enhance that will really improve your health. Yes?
Have you seen any improvement in people who complain of fibromyalgia? Because I noticed that in some of my patients who have their mercury removed.
Not any real dramatic cases, but I think especially if you can catch it early on in the disease process, I think it might help. Some of these diseases, I think, once they reach a point, you know, they can't be reversed. Anything, Carlos?
Have you seen any increase in patient hypersensitivity after you replace, you remove the amount of, you replace it with the deposit? Have you seen an increase since the cavitation seems to be enlarged a little bit?
Usually the sensitivity is improved. Their immune system recovers. You know, sometimes it's dramatic. Sometimes it's, you know, it may take 6 months or a year. Oh, you mean sensitivity to the teeth themselves, to temperature and chewing pressure? Oh, not more. I think you know, I used mercury fillings for 8 or 9 years, and I think I had more complaints about sensitivity using mercury fillings than I did with composites. And early on, the bonding agents we had seemed to be more, you know, caustic. But in my practice, I haven't had too much problem with that, and I think it's less than what I experienced before. Yes?
I worked in a practice where about one patient in 10 was experiencing sensitivity after placing composites, but I found if you place dichal, or preferably IRM, before you etch, before you use etching, that reduced the sensitivity, post-op sensitivity, almost to zero.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it might have been the etching that was causing.
Yes.
This usually lasts for about 10 days after the composite is placed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last few years I've been using the one-step, you know, bonding agent where we don't etch with the strong acid like we did.
Yes.
But, yes.
Aside from the mercury, are you seeing any issues with use of other dissimilar metals like your non-precious metal crowns, gold, or getting any gold-like reactions?
Well, there's always going to be some potential for metal reactions when you have dissimilar metals in the mouth. And there's such a wide spectrum of different metals used in crowns. I don't know that I can think of anything specific. It's just that nowadays more of my patients, even in rural Arkansas, are wanting no metal restorations. So I have only done porcelain fused to metal crowns, maybe 5 or 6 where it was a space, you know, interocclusal space problem, but almost everything is all porcelain nowadays, and it's much nicer aesthetically, and I think probably has, you know, plays less havoc on the electrical system in the body without the mercury, without the metal. Mm-hmm. And even labs nowadays are advertising more and more, you know, non-metal things, so. Well, I think our time is up. Thank you for your patience.
This media was produced by Audioverse for Amen, Adventist Medical Evangelism Network. If you would like to learn more about Amen, please visit www.amensda.org. Or if you would like to listen to more free online sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.